Today's staff is Kofiud. We're going to do a quick review from the end of yesterday's staff. We had the Mishnah, which said, the Komet, the Levona, Ktoret, Mincha Kohen, Mincha Kohen, all these items. If you're Makriv, a Kezayit of them outside, you're Chayav on sacrificing something outside the Mikdash. But Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Eliezer, there's a whole debate what actually his name was. The Shita Mekubetza changes to Rabbi Elazar. The text says Rabbi Eliezer. Either which way, he says, we'll go with Rabbi Elazar, he's poter ad sheyakrivit kulam. Okay, he exempts until you fulfill, you take the entire amount that was supposed to be offered inside, you do outside. And then, I'm just going to go through the entire Mishnah. And then there was one line I didn't explain correctly. I'm going to re-explain now. V'kulan shekriv bifnim, if you took them and sacrificed them inside, but shir mehem kezayit v'krivo b'chutz chayav, you left over kezayit, and then you took that kezayit outside, and you sacrificed it outside. You offered it up outside. You'd be chayav. Because then the kezayit was the end of, normally a kezayit wouldn't be enough. But if you did the kezayit, it was the end of whatever, you know, let's say your kmitza. It was you offered everything inside, but the last part, the kezayit you left over, and that you offered up outside, then you would be chayav according to everybody. V'kulan, this is the line I didn't explain, right? Shechasru kol shehu, if they were missing a part of it. Now, if you're missing a part of the korban, if, let's say you're inside the Mikdash and you want to sacrifice the Korban, but you lost a part of it. If you're missing a part of it or any of these items, you lose part of the Kmitza, you can't offer it up inside.
You
so there,
the rest
of it, yeah. In other words, you've lost your chance to offer it. So therefore, any of these cases where Chasru Kol Shehu, okay, where some part of it was missing, and now you offer it up outside, Vikrivo Bachutz, you're going to be Patur. Okay, for that you're going to be patur. In the last line, makriv kodashim ve'imurim b'chutz chayav. The kodashim, remember the parts, here we're talking about, let's say, a shlamim. You offer up the meat, which isn't supposed to be burned. You burn it outside together with the imurim, which are supposed to be burned. You're going to be chayav. We'll talk about what's the chidush of that line when we get to the Gemara. Okay, so then we had, the Gemara started out and said, hamaktir kezayit b'chutz chayav, okay, which matches the Tanakhama in our Mishnah, the first opinion. And then it said, Chatsi pras bifnim patur. If you take a half a pras and you offer that inside your patur, the Gemara said, patur for what? What are we talking about? So in the conclusion of the Gemara said, what we mean is, the tzibur, even though the shir is a pras for ktoret, even though that's the shi'or, if you did half that amount, you actually are yotze, and the tzibur doesn't have to bring any more, and that's because there's no shir really midoraita, and therefore kezayit, or a chatzi pras, or any kind of amount, as long as it's the minimum of a kezayit, even though they're not talking about kezayit, but the assumption is that's what they mean, that's enough to be yotze. Okay? So now, Rabbi Zeira had a question, and we're gonna review from here. Rabbi Zeira said in the fifth line of the Gemara there, after the Gemara starts, I kashali ha kashali. This was my question. Ha da amar, and here I charted it out for you on the sheet. Okay? So, you have a sheet. Rav said about this halacha, Afilu Rabbi Elazar Modeh, Deha Rabbi. Okay, so he's saying on this issue about there's two issues. One is, what do you have to do inside? And two is, what do you chayav if you do it outside? Right? Normally, we connect them. So now we're going to say, if even Rabbi Elazar agrees that a chatzi pras inside, you'll be yotze, or likewise a kezayit pras inside, you'll be yotze or chiyuv, then he should say that you be chayav on a kezayit, but he doesn't say that. He says ad sheyakrivit kula. So therefore, how could Rav have said that even Rabbi Elazar is modeh here? Daha Rabbi Elazar lav haktarihi. Rabbi Elazar said that's not lav haktarihi kamar. That's not haktara. Okay, so if you see charted out, right? So if you look at the chart from the Mishnah, it says Rabbi Elazar says ad sheyakrivit kulan, and in the Braita, Rav says that even Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Eliezer would be modeh that you're going to be, the tzibur is going to be patur as long as they did a chatzi pras, even though it's not the full shiur. So Rabbi Elazar seems to contradict himself in these two sources. In one case, he says, a half a shiur is enough, as long as you did something that fulfills your obligation inside. And then, when it comes to being outside, though, halat chutz, you're not going to be chayav until you do the entire thing. Okay? So now, part of what caused a little bit of confusion here, and I want to preface this with this, is that there's two uses of the word chutz here. Okay? And this is what caused a lot of confusion. chutz could mean that you do it on the mizbeach hachitzoni rather than on the pnimi, where we're distinguishing between regular things that are offered up in the outer mizbeach versus things offered inside. Inside here, we're not actually talking about the inner mizbeach. We're talking about inside the Kodesh Kodeshim on Yom Kippur. Okay, the ktoret, actually, I should say like this. There's the ktoret that's offered bachutz, which means actually in the hechal. It's usually what we call pnim. It becomes chutz here, because it's done on the mizbeach ktoret, which is inside the hechal, as opposed to the ktoret that's done inside the Kodesh Kodeshim. So we're going to distinguish between those two. We're going to use chutz to be referring to two things. Chutz sometimes is being referred to as the ktoret that's offered outside the Kodesh Kodeshim on a regular day, on a daily basis. And chutz could also mean sacrificing it outside the mikdash, you know, outside the azara. It's going to cause a little confusion here, but anyway, we'll clarify. So we're going to have three answers to this question. That's what's charted out. Okay, we saw two of them yesterday, but we'll review. So Amar Rabba, Bahak Tara Dehechal Kule Amalo Pli. Nobody has an argument about the Haktara of the Hechal. Okay, everyone will say that you need that a Kazayit is sufficient for the Haktara Dehechal. Okay, and that's what the Braita is referring to. And the Braita says, even Rabbi Elazar is Moded, the Maktir Chatzi Pras Bifnim is Patur. He would agree across the board about if you were makriv it outside and it was only a kezayit, because that whole shir is only midrabanan. It's not a kezayit, it's sufficient when it comes to the haktara of the hechal, the regular daily haktara. Ki pligi b'haktara difnim, the machloket between them is about the haktara that you do all the way inside the Kodesh Kodeshim and Yom Kippur. Demar savar malochof nav davka, umar savar malochof nav lav davka. The machloket in our Mishnah between Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim is, do you need a malochof nav? It says you have to do malochof nav, but is that malkev or is it not malkev? So if you say you need malochof nav davka, then you're going to say you're not chayav bachutz unless you do a whole malochof nav. And according to Chachamim, we say, it's not davka malochof nav, that's just saying, take a handful, but even if you did less than a handful, you'd be yotze. That's the first explanation. But Amar Abayi, you can't possibly say that. V'hakiktiva chuka b'haktara dipnim hu dichtiv. It says chuka naktara dipnim, which means, chuka means it's me'akev, meaning it has to be melochof. Now, you can't possibly say that's the machlok. El Amar Abayi, b'haktara dipnim kule amalo pligi. Everyone agrees that you're chayav melochof nav in order to be, let's say, yidei chova, okay, when it comes to the haktara bifnim. Ki pligi, so what's the machloket about? B'haktara dechutz. Okay, so now, what are we talking about haktara b'chutz here? Haktara b'chutz is not the haktara of the hechal, of the outer area. The haktara b'chutz is taking the ktoret of Yom HaKippurim and offering it up outside. Yes, it's true that when you're inside the Kodesh Kodeshim, in order to be yotze, you have to have a malochof nav. But now, all of a sudden, until now, we've assumed whatever is true inside is going to be true outside. Now we're going to say maybe there's a distinction here, and that's the machloket. And why would there be a distinction here? Why would we say, dafka in this case, we're going to say, even though inside you need a malochof nav, if you did haktara of the Yom Kippurim outside, maybe you'd only be chayav a kezayit? What would be the logic for that? Because maybe we learn the haktara of Yom Kippurim from the haktara of every day. If every day it's enough to have a kezayit, maybe you would also say that if you took the Yom Kippurim Ktoret and you did only a kezayit of it outside, you'd be chayav. Because we're going to learn pnim michutz. Okay? So we're going to basically say, whatever's true for one Ktoret is true for the other Ktoret. Okay? So that's how we're going to read it. Mar savar yafinan pnim michutz, umar savar lo yafinan. Okay? One says we can learn from the Ktoret of Yom Kippurim. This is where the chutz gets interchanged. We can learn from the pnim, from the chutz, from the Ktoret that's done outside. That's why it gets very confusing, because we're talking about learning something outside the Azara Bichlal from, right, in the case where it was the Ktoret Bifnim, from the Ktoret that was Bachutz. Okay? And that is, or from, yeah, that's what, okay? Yalfinan Pim Bichutz. Umar Savar, and Rabbi Elazar says, Lo Yalfinan, you don't learn Pnim Michutz. And since the shir is Meloch Ofnav by the Ktoret of Yom Kippurim, in order to be Chayav and Halat Chutz, you're going to have Meloch Ofnav. So Amar Rava, hashta chutz michutz lo yalfe rabbanan, pnim michutz mebaya. If the rabbis aren't going to learn from the ktoret that you only need a kezayit to some other shir, where, right, for some other case that's already done outside and not done in the Kodesh Kodeshim. Again, outside is used in both ways, right? We're going to take something else and say, well, it's going to be, let's say, the Nisachim. Okay, the Nisachim, we're not going to learn that the Shir is a Kazayit. Even though, by Ketoret, it's a Kazayit. We don't learn from there to the Nisachim. So why would you even think that we could learn to something that happens inside the Kodesh Kodeshim, the Holy of Holies? How could you possibly say, right? If we can't learn Chutz Michutz, how could we learn Chutz Mipnim? Okay, their Chutz and Pnim are talking about Hechal versus Kodesh Kodeshim, as opposed to the outside. That's why this whole sugya can be a little confusing with the language. Okay, now where is this? Mahi. Where do we see that the rabbis don't learn Chutz Michutz? Detanya, Yachol Hamale Pachot Mikazayit Kometz UPachot Mikazayit Imurim. You might have thought if you offer up less than a Kazayit of the Kmitza, or less than a Kazayit of the Imurim of the sacrifice, or HaMenasech Pachot Mishloshet Login Yayin, or Pachot Mishloshet Login Mayim, or if you did less than 3 logs of wine, or less of 3 logs of water, Yehei Chayav, if you offered these up outside the Azara, Halat Chutz, you might have thought you'd be Chayav. Talmud lomar la'asot ala shalem chayav ve'eino chayav ala chaser. Okay, so now we're going to learn, even though, it's took me a little while to figure this out, even though the rabbis in the Mishnah said you have to have a kazayit is enough, all of these things you said a kazayit, they're now going to say, well, it's true a kazayit b'chutz in certain things, you don't need the entire thing, but you need at least the minimum shear required for that item. In other words, it's a kazayit when it relates to certain things, like the Ketoret. But when it comes to the nisuchim, the pouring of the wine libations and the water libations, there you're going to need the minimum of the shear of that item. So let's say you have a minimum of 3 logs of yayin you have to pour. In this case, you had taken 4 logs, okay? Because you did extra, okay? Now, if you only did 3 logs outside, Chachamim would say you're chayav. But if you did 2 logs, you wouldn't be chayav because that is less than the minimum shear required for that. So what do you see here? They didn't say kazayit, even though they could have said, well, why don't we just go by the minimum, right? In Ketoret, it's kazayit. So why don't we learn chutz michutz, meaning anything else that was done normally in here, the chutz is actually not even the hechal, it's done on the mizbeach hachitzon, right? We could have learned that from the Ketoret, which is done in the hechal, and we don't. So therefore, how can we possibly learn from the Ketoret to what happens in the Kodesh Kodeshim? So that's what he says. So hashta chutz michutz l'yalfe, right? So where is it? Yachol ma'ale, yechayav, tamud lomar la'asot ala shalem, ve'no chayav ala chaser. And you need at least a full shiur. Less than 3 logs still has a bunch of olive bulks worth of it. And that's his proof. I just want to point this out, just so while your head is still in this, because we're going to only get back to this later, Rav Ash is going to say, I have an answer to that question, which is, you could say we don't learn chutz michutz when you're talking about apples and oranges, but when you're talking about ketoret to ketoret, maybe you could learn it. And that's going to be his answer to Rava's question. But Rava's going to bring his own answer, and that's why we're going to start with that first and then get back to Rav Ashi's answer to that question. Amar Rava, kigon dikavinu shne chatzei pras b'mana. It's a case where you took 2 chatzei pras and you put it into a kli. Okay? So now, mar savar kviyut mana miltahi, umar savar lav miltahi. Okay, so now, if you put it all in a kli, so the question is putting it in a kli significant or not? So if you say, kviyut mana is something, meaning you now, and as even though you needed a minimum of a kazayit, what did we say before? You could take a kazayit, okay, let's take the braita. The braita says, even Relazar is modeh that what? You take a maktir chatzi pras, right? Your maktir, only a half of the amount, it's fine. Okay? But now, and you know, since even if you did a kazayit, you'd be yotze inside, and therefore you'd be chayav outside. But on our Mishnah, it sounded like you said, you're not chayav until you makriv it kula. So what was the case that you're not chayav until you makriv it kula? That's if you put, in as if you, from the beginning, took a small amount of ketoret and you offered it, and it was at least a kazayit, you'd be yotze, according to Rabbi Elazar, according to this. But if you put already the shear in a kli, the shear of a pras, you put a chatzi pras in one kli and a chatzi pras in right? You put, I don't know why they call it Shnei Chatzei Pras, but you put a whole pras into a kli. Then, according to Rabbi Elazar, you wouldn't be chayav b'chutz until you offered up all of that, because you already designated it in a kli. Putting it in a kli is significant. Kli mana miltehi, that's what it means. Putting it in the kli is significant. Umar sabar and chachamim say lav miltehi. Just because you put it in a kli doesn't mean you have to offer up the whole thing. So you could, you do, but if you didn't, you'd be yotze, according to chachamim. And likewise, just like you'd be yotze, you'd be chayav for halat chutz. And Rabbi Elazar says, no, once you put in a kli, whatever amount you put in that kli, you have to offer up. And if you didn't offer it up, and as well, it's true, you could have gotten away with less. Since you put the whole thing in the kli, you have to offer up that amount, which means, again, if you do it outside, you're not going to be chayav until you use everything that you put in the kli. Okay, now we're going to say a side thing, which is, I'm a rabbi. Rabbi's going to say, based on this, okay, now let's go to Chachamim. What did Chachamim say? It's not significant, whatever you put in the kli. Okay? It's not mashmauti. It has no bearing, no relevance. So what does he say? Hashta lamanda amar kfiyuta demana velo klumhu. Now the Chachamim said kfiyut of mana is nothing. Okay? Now, let's say, okay, before we get to the next line, I want to just show you the second chart on the sheet. We talked about this before, but there were nisachim that went along with the korbanot. If it was a par, you had to bring a chatziahin, which was 6 login, an ayel shlishin, which was 4 login, and a keves reviahin, which was 3 log. Okay? Those are the measurements. So, let's say kavashi shalapar. You put 6 log of wine into your kli to pour for the par. Umashach mehen arba'a. But in the end, what did you do? You took 4 out, you brought it outside the azara, and what did you do? You poured it outside. Vihi krivam b'chutz. So, are you chayav or not? If kfiut mana has no significance whatsoever, then you're going to be chayav. Why? Shiruin la'ayil. In other words, even though you designated it for a par, your designation in the kli is useless, is meaningless, according to Chachamim. Not meaningless, but it has no relevance halachically. So if you take 4 log from there and you pour it outside, you did a wine libation outside that would be relevant for an ayil. The fact that you had 6 log in the kli to begin with doesn't really matter to us. Obviously, Rabbi Elazar would say, no way. You put in the kli for 6 log, you'd have to pour all 6 log in order to be chayav. And likewise, he's going to say, kava arba'a la'ayil, let's say you did 4 for the ayil, umashach mehen shloshavi krivam b'chutz chayav, shiruyin lekeves, right? That would work for a keves, and therefore, you'd be chayav also. But obviously, if chasru kol shehu, if you had 3, and you lost a little bit, v'krivam b'chutz patur, since less than 3 log is not really for anything, then, remember, even Chachamim said, you need a minimum shear of 3 log for the libation to be chayav. So since you have less than 3 log, that's not roi for anything, then obviously you're not going to be chayav. Okay, now like I promised, we go back to Rava's question on Abaye. Rav Ashi amar nisuch mehaktara lo yalfe rabanan, afapi dechutz michutz, I'm not reading this right. Nisuch mehaktara lo yalfe rabanan, right? And as we can't learn nisuch from haktara, af agav dechutz michutz, chutz michutz lo yalfe, haktara mehaktara yalfe. In other words, there we don't learn chutz michutz, but you could learn haktara mehaktara. Af agav de chutz mipnim. In other words, it's not the chutz mipnim and chutz michutz issue. It's haktara from haktara and nisuch from haktara. He says, just because you don't learn nisuch from haktara doesn't mean you can't learn haktara from haktara. And that's his answer to Rav's question on Abaye. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Bekulan shechasru. So again, that line was, if you're machsir, if you don't have the entire animal, and you bring it outside, you're missing, right? If it's the animal is missing parts of it, okay? In other words, it's not that you don't have it with you, just it's missing. You've lost part of the animal. Since you can't offer it inside, well, it's missing parts of the animal, therefore, you are not chayav on ha'alat chutz, according to everybody. Ibai elihu. Okay, now what I specifically didn't say was, at what point did it get lost? Did it get lost while it was still inside? Or did it get lost when you took it outside? So the assumption is, since we're talking about it's not ra'oi to be offered up inside, we mean that it got lost inside. But the question is, what if when you took it out, it was whole when it was inside, you took it outside, then you lost a part of it, and then you offered it up outside? Would a chisaron dechutz shmei chisaron or lo shmei chisaron? If it got lost outside, once you already brought it outside, would that be called chisaron or not? What are the issues? Mi amrinan kevan denafak ifsililuhu. Once you take it outside, it's psul yotze. Once it's psul yotze, mali chaser, mali yeter. What's the difference whether it's missing a part or not? You've already disqualified it, and yet we still say hala'at chutz you're chayav for. So what's the difference if you pasled it and it was yotze, or you pasled it and it's missing parts? In other words, once you pasled it yotze, it's so disqualified, and yet we're still going to chayav you hala'at chutz. What's the difference if it's missing parts or not? O dilma yotze di'ita be'ine in delete be'ene lo. Or do you say no? If we're talking about halat chutz, it has to be in a way that it could have worked inside, and here we're missing parts of it, so it doesn't work. Amar Abaye, so now they're going to have several attempts to answer the question. They're not going to succeed. Amar Abaye Tashma, they're going to try to learn it from different parts of our Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar Poter ad she'akrivit kulan. He says, you're not going to be chayav until you're makrivit kulan. So what does it sound like? You need to have the entire thing. If it's missing parts, it's not going to work. Amar le Rabba Barav Hanan, la Abaye. See, now he says to Abaye, for this answer of his, he says, Mija Rabbi Elazar Pashimar? I was asking about Chachamim Shita. I wasn't asking about Rabbi Elazar. Why are you bringing a proof from what Rabbi Elazar says? I wanted to know what Chachamim would hold in this case. Obviously, Rabbi Elazar says you have to sacrifice the whole thing. I wasn't asking according to him. So that doesn't answer the question at all. Amarle, Beferish Miale Mine de Rav. I heard explicitly from Rav. Ad kan lo plige rabbanan ale de Rabbi Elazar ele de iti be'ene. Aval b'chisaron modele modele. Okay, so now he says, I heard that Rav said that rabbanan only argue with Rabbi Elazar if it's actually there. But if it's chaser, then they agree that you're not going to be chayav ad she'akrivit kulan. And what do we mean by chaser? His assumption is that when Rav said chaser, lav de chaser b'chutz, doesn't he mean that even if it was missing parts outside, in other words, when you actually go to offer it and it got lost even outside? So they say, lo, you can explain that what Rav was talking about was de chaser pnim, that the Chachamim would agree with Rabbi Elazar if it was missing parts before it went outside. In other words, it's not indicative either which way. It's not clear where that goes. Tashma, let's try from the line in our Mishnah. V'kulan shechasru v'ikrivam b'chutz patur. Our line, right? Anything that's missing, and you're makriv b'chutz patur. Lav dechaser b'chutz, doesn't that seem to imply if it's missing and it got lost even outside? Lo dechaser b'fnim. No, you could say, the Mishnah was talking about when it was missing parts before it went outside. In other words, none of these sources, because they all just say chaser, it's impossible to know whether they meant it was machzir inside or possibly also outside. Hamakriv kodashim. Now we have this last line that says, if you offer up, again, basar, kodashim we mean, kodshim kalim, basar that could be eaten by people. Okay, so you burn kodshim, or it could be actually kodshe kodshim that the kohen eats. Vi'imurim, and the imurim that have to be burned, you burn them both together outside, your chayav. So now they're going to say, amai, v'ha'ika chatzitza. What do you mean? If you have the meat, the imurim are the inner parts of the animal. So the assumption is that when you burn it, what's going to be on the spit itself, on the fire? The body, the meat, which is actually not, you're not obligated for offering that up outside. The imurim are now separated from the fire. They're not directly in contact with the fire. And for whatever reason, they think, you know, they say, well, if there's a chatzitza, then it's not considered offering it up, even though they're going to get burned. I guess they're not burned directly from the fire. So Amar Shmuel, Kisha Hafachan. Shmuel says, you could say the only time you're going to be chayav is when you flip it over and the innards are actually straight on the fire. Then you'd be chayav for alat chutz, but if they weren't straight on the fire, you wouldn't. For Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afilu Tema Shalo Hafachan, you could say, I can even explain, even if you didn't flip it over. V'hamane Rabbi Shimoni, Damar Afilu Helu Alasela Chayav. What did he say? Even if you offer up, Rabbi Shimon said, even if you offer it up on a rock, on a stone, you'd be chayav, and therefore you don't really need a mizbech. And they're going to take his shita one step further and say, well, if you don't even need a real mizbech, then obviously it just needs to be offered up. It doesn't matter whether it's touching the fire or not touching the fire. This whole issue of chatzitza is not relevant. Rav amar min b'mino eino chotzitz. When you have, Rav gives a different explanation, which is if you have min b'mino, the same item, meat and the inner parts of the animal are all one and the same. They're all kind of parts of the body of the animal. And therefore, if you say, that's not a chatzitza, even though the imurim aren't directly on the fire, they're attached to something which is the same as it, which means that they're basically as if they're on the fire directly. Okay, so either we say there's no issue of chatzitza, or we, let me say that better. Either we say, you don't even need to worry about there being a chatzitza, there's no such problem with that, that's Shmuel, or Rav who says it is a chatzitza, you do have to worry about chatzitza, but this is not considered a chatzitza. Okay, new Mishnah. Mincha shalonik mitzah v'ikriva b'chutz patur. If you have a mincha that you never took the komets out of, remember, what happens with a mincha? You take the kmitza, you take, you know, your fingers in, you put your fingers in, you dip it into that batter of the bread and the of the wheat and the oil. You dip it in, you burn that on the mizbeach, and now the rest of the mincha becomes permitted to you. What if you never took out the kmitza, and you took that whole batch of dough, and you burned it outside, or some, you know, whatever part of the dough, you burnt outside? You're patur, because it wasn't yet chayav to be burned, right? Inside. You're only chayav to burn it inside once you took the kmitza, right? It's like, without that, it's nothing. Kamtza v'chazar kumtza letocho. What if you took out the kmitza, and then the kmitza ended up back in the batter? Okay, and by accident, right? You can see this happening. I once had it with hafresha challah, where I was mafresh challah, and then the challah went back in, and I had to burn the entire everything. It ruined the whole thing. So don't ever do that. It's very painful. Anyway, if you took out the kmitza and then the kmitza ends up back inside the whole batch, now what's supposed to happen? You're supposed to be allowed to eat the mincha, and the kmitza has to be burned only, right? So now what do we say? Bikrivo b'chutz chayav. If you sacrifice that outside, that whole batch, you're actually going to be chayav. Why? Because the kmitza was chayav to be burned, and the kmitza was inside. Now, there's a difference between once it was taken out already and then fell back into the batter, it's still chayav to be burned at that point. Okay, now there's a bit of an issue here, if you remember we learned this. There's a pasuk that says, ki kol seor b'chol dvash lo taktiru mimenu ishel Hashem. Okay, you can't have seor dvash on the mizbeach, right? You can't. Nothing can have leavened bread or anything. But there's a word in that pasuk that's unnecessary, which is mimenu. Could just say lo taktiru ishel Hashem. So the word mimenu is extra, and they darshan that pasuk to mean two things. You can't put seor and dvash, and also, you're going to remember this, I think, when I say it, lo taktiru kol sheyesh mimenu al ishel Hashem. Anything that has from it gone on the fire, you actually have an issur to burn it. What does that mean? What would be the case here? The mincha, which you took the kmitza out of, right? You took a kmitza, you're left with the rest of the mincha. The kmitza is supposed to be burned, the mincha's not. You're not allowed to burn that mincha on the mizbech, okay? Because that's from this pasuk. Kol shemimenu ishel Hashem can't be burned. So if you took something out of there and it's supposed to be burned and the rest is not, you're not allowed to burn the rest of that offering on the mizbech. So while it's true that you actually are not allowed to burn this, but if you did, since the kmitza is inside it, you'd be yotze your chiyuv of the kmitza, okay? So you'd have considered that you offered up the mincha, you know, the kmitza of the mincha, even though you're not allowed to actually burn that whole thing. And therefore, since you'd have been yotze b'dieved, if you offered up that entire mixture, the mincha plus the kmitza, outside, you'd be chayav chutz. V'amai. So the Gemara starts off and says, why? Libatz le'shirayim le'komets. Obviously, the kmitza is a much smaller amount than the whole measurement of the mincha. The mincha is a big thing, and the kmitza is just a very small bit. So why don't we say that the kmitza is canceled out into the shirayim, and when you burn those shirayim outside, it's like burning something that's not allowed to be burned inside, so you shouldn't be chayev on halat chutz. Amar Rav Zera, ne'emrak tara b'komets. We have the same word that appears by the kmitza of Ketoret, and we have the same word that appears by the shirayim. Where is that? The pasuk I just mentioned. Since we say that that pasuk has a reference to the shirayim mincha, which is, you know, which is something that, and it says lo taktiru mimenu ishel Hashem. So the word haktara comes up there. Ma haktarat komets ein komets mevatel chavero. Af haktarat shirayim ein shirayim mevatelim komets. If you had two kmatzim that got mixed up, you had one very big mincha offering and one smaller mincha offering, or you had a kmitza that was bigger than the other kmitza, you had a kohen who had a bigger hand than the other one, and both of them ended up being mixed together, we don't allow one to cancel out the other. There's no din, we already learned this, that dvarim sholim al mizbech lo mevatlim zo et zo. Even though generally we have batal berov, if you have a mixture of these two kmitzas and you burn it on the mizbeach, you don't say, oh, you're only going to say the bigger one, and that the bigger one overwhelmed the smaller one, and it's as if it's not there. No, they're not mevatel zo et zo. So just like they're not mevatel zo et zo, since we have this zera shava, haktara, haktara, the shirayim, also the shirayim can't cancel out a kmitza. Okay, and that's why the kmitz is still considered there, and that's why if you offer up the entire thing outside, you're going to be chayav. Next Mishnah. Hakomets v'halavona, shehikriv et achad mehem b'chutz, chayav. With a mincha offering, you're supposed to bring the kmitza, burn it, and you're supposed to bring a livona offering with it, frankincense offering. So if you're makriv only one of them b'chutz and not both, since in order to be yotze the mincha, in order to matir the mincha, you have to have both those things. So again, we're going to have the same machloket, the first opinion in the Mishnah versus Rabbi Elazar, who's going to say, according to the Tanakhama or Chachamim, if you're makriv echad mehem b'chutz, you're chayav, because it's a whole shiur of a kmitza. Rabbi Eliezer or Elazar, poter ad shiakriv et hashini. You have to actually offer up the second one, both of them, in order to be chayav, because otherwise you haven't done a full act. Echad bifnim ve'echad b'chutz chayav. But if you offered up, this is like the previous Mishnah, if you offered up and left over a kazayit, and then the kazayit you put outside, you'd be chayav. Likewise here. If you offered up the kmitza, let's say, out inside, and then you're left with the lavona, and the lavona you offer up outside, even Rabbi Elazar will agree, you're chayav, because that finished up the offering. Shnei b'zichei levona, this is the two spoons. Okay, there's spoons full of frankincense that they would offer up with the lechem hapanim. They would go with the lechem hapanim. So hikriv et achad mehem b'chutz chayav. Again, same thing. Since you need two of them, what if you only offer one outside? It would be chayav, according to Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Elazar poter ad shikriv et hashini. Okay, you need both. But if one was offered up inside and one was offered outside, then you'd be chayav, because that finished up the avodah of that offering. By Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka, the Gemara starts out with a question. Kometz, mau sheyatir kenegdo b'shirayim. If you offer up the kometz, okay, now we get into mathematical equations. Don't worry, it's very simple mathematics. If you have the kometz and the livona that are going to matir the mincha, so let's say you offer up only one, well, that matir half the mincha, okay? Because you have two things that are matir, one whole item. So if you did one, would it matir the part kineged, that half, okay? So would it matir 50%? That's what it means, kinegdo b'shirayim. And what's left over, would it matir its own part? Mishrashare, when you do that act of the kmitza, does it matir half the amount? Oh, kilushe miklash. Or does it just lessen the severity of the punishment that you're going to get if you eat the mincha without offering up the lavona? Okay? In other words, obviously the kmitza does, burning the kmitza on the mizbeach does something according to this. Okay, you could actually say maybe it doesn't do anything. But according to his logic, it does something. The question is, does it matir half the shirayim? And then you do the lavona and that matirs the other half. Or does it just weaken your punishment if you don't do the lavona? And then you go eat the mincha. That would be your problem. So now they say, Aliba Daman, according to who? E Aliba de Rabbi Meir Damar Mifaglim Bachatzi Matir Mishrashari. If you hold, we're now going to basically say, it's either all or nothing, according to seemingly everybody. So why do you even have this question? Either you're going to hold that it matirs it entirely, or you're going to hold that it doesn't matir it at all. Okay, and why did you say it's this in-between possibly, right? That it's maybe it just weakens it and you get less of a punishment. So what's this mefaglim b'chatzi matir? Okay, this is when you offer up the kmitza and you have, while you're burning it, you say, I'm burning this, I'm not that I'm going to eat the mincha past the time I'm allowed to eat the mincha. Okay? But you don't have the same machshava when you're doing the lavona. Or the reverse, you have it with the lavona and not with the kmitza. So, according to Rabbi Meir, that would be pigul. In other words, even though it's a chatzi matir, right? He calls it a chatzi matir, right? But the half of the thing that matir is the mincha for eating, if you had a pigul machshava, it's going to be pigul. So, according to him, he views it, obviously, that what? It's mishrashare. It entirely matirs its own part, because otherwise, how could you have pigul? And Ialiba de Rabbanan, Damar, Emefaglim Bachatzi Matir, it doesn't do anything, there's no pigul there. Lo Mishrashari, Velo Miklakalish. He thinks it's nothing until you do both the kmitza and the lavona. So therefore, he would think here also, if you just did the kmitza, of course it doesn't affect anything, because it won't make a pigul. Ella, Aliba de Rabbi Elazar, what if you say according to Rabbi Elazar, that maybe according to Rabbi Elazar, who said, Ad She Yakrivit Kulan in our Mishnah, right? His whole Shita, you have to have both. So maybe the question is according to him. Maybe according to Rabbi Elazar, would it be that even though you need both to be chayiv in bachutz, maybe it would still be matir, you know, the shirayim kenegdo or not, or just weaken it. No, but Rabbi Elazar kerabanan sfira le'damar emefaglin b'chatzi matir. We know that Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbanan that emefaglin b'chatzi matir, and therefore, in other words, his whole shita is premised on the fact that there's no value to one without the other. So he clearly doesn't think that it would affect anything. So therefore, what are you going to have to say? Ela aliba derabanan tahacha. It's according to the rabbis of our Mishnah. Since the rabbis of our Mishnah, which would be the first opinion mentioned in our Mishnah, the Tanakama, seem to imply what? That if you're makriv one, you could be chayav on halat chutz for that. So the question is, how do they view it? Do they view it that it's mishra share, that it actually matirs its own half? Or do they just say it's kalish miklash? Or does it just weaken it? And teku, we don't actually know the answer.
This is like a radical idea. Why not say you half stabbed somebody,
right,
to get half the punishment? No, really.
Right.
I mean, it seemed like after all this.
So it's true, except, but it's because there's two different acts that go, these are two different things. It's maybe more similar. I'll give you an example. When it comes to, there's a bunch of cases where it's like this. There's Ben Sora Morer where he has to eat and drink, and there's stages. Then they have to warn him, and then he goes, and then he. Let me give you a simpler one. There's the, without getting into too many details, there's the Hagonev Nefesh Mi Yisrael. What do you have to do in order to be chayav on kidnapping that you get death for? You have to gonev, you have to kidnap the person, and then sell the person. Okay, you have to sell them. Without both elements, you're not chayav. On the other hand, the question is, are you chayav something if you just did gneva? Means you might not be chayav death, but you're chayav something. So this exists very often when there's two that's what's tricky here. There's two different things that are going on. There's a kmitza, and there's a lavona. Those are two different items. And they're burned separately. They don't get burned together. They don't get offered together. So how do we view, it's always a question, when you have two acts, two items, how do we view it? Is it each is half, or is it, they're all part of a whole, and without that whole, they're nothing, you know. And here we see a whole gamut of options here. Either it does nothing, or it weakens the punishment, or it actually matures you for half of the mincha.
Well, that's the strange one, the weakening the punishment. We've only seen yes, no, on, yeah, off.
So the weakening the punishment, reason. Yeah. So I didn't look into this so much, but it seemed to me that you only get malkot for the kmitza if the kmitza isn't burned. So if you did the kmitza and then you didn't do the lavona, you still wouldn't be allowed to eat the mincha, but if you did, you wouldn't get malkot for it. I believe that that's where it comes from, that you wouldn't get malkot for it. Okay, that's my assumption. Okay, I'm going to go on, though. Look that up later. Okay. Hazorek miktsat dam bachutz, chayav. Remember with the dam, if you did only one matana, when you're supposed to do four, you're actually yotze. So in this case, even Rabbi Lazar agrees that what? If you're zorek miktsat dam bachutz, you did one presentation of blood, you'd be chayav, because there, you're actually yotze inside with only one presentation of dam. Rabbi Elazar Omer, here you see he comes up, but he doesn't disagree. He says, af, even ha-minasech mechag b'chag b'chutz chayav. If you take the water libation from Sukkot and you pour it outside, you're going to be chayav. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, shayarei hadam shikrivu b'chutz chayav. Even the shirayim that you pour outside, you're going to be chayav. Okay, remember the shirayim were already not ma'akev, you just pour them. But since it's an act you do on the mizbech, and they have to be poured in the yesod, if you pour them outside, you're going to be chayav. Amar Rava, Rava now says, Umode Rabbi Elazar b'damim, Detanya, okay, and he agrees even in damim, Detanya, Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, mimakom shepasak u'matchil. How do we know that Rabbi Elazar is mode in the damim, that even if you offer part of them, you're going to be yotzei? Because it says in a braita, if you remember, this has to do with Yom Kippur. Remember what happens on Yom Kippur. Let's just go through the all the sprinklings. So what do? You take the par and the seir, and you slaughter them both, and you take the blood first of the par. You go, the Kohen Gadol goes inside Kodesh Kodeshim, he sprinkles Echa Lamala, Sheva Lamata, against, toward the parochet of the Aron. Then he does the same thing with the par, the dam of the seir. He takes the seer blood and he brings it inside, one lamala, sheva lamata. Then he goes back outside, he takes the par blood again, and he does eight hazaot again, chalamata, sheva lamata, up against the parochet in the Heichal, leading to the Kodesh Kodeshim, but he's no longer in the Kodesh Kodeshim. He sprinkles it on the parochet. Then he does the same thing with the Seir. Then he mixes the blood, remember? And then he takes the blood, although some people say he doesn't mix, he just does the blood of both, but then he does the blood of both, whether mixed or not, and he does it on the four kranot on his back in the Heichal. And then he does these seven sprinklings on the top of the Mizbech. Okay, let's just assume we're talking about the opinion that says from the combination of the blood. Now, there was this whole machloket, what happens if the blood spills in the middle, right? The classic tragedy, right? You're on Yom Kippurim and you spill the blood. You can imagine the Kohen Gadol is like all nervous, right? And the shaking and the blood spills. If you spill the blood and you no longer have blood to do, what do you have to do? You have to re-sacrifice animals. And the question is, do you have to go back and start from the beginning? Right? Mm-hmm. Nobody actually thinks you have to start from the beginning. But let's say you're in the middle of one of those seven or eight hazaot that you're doing. Do you have to start from the beginning of that whole section? Or can you just pick up from where you went, where you left off? So he says here that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon both say, Mimakom shapasak hu matchil. And therefore, that's how we can prove that Rabbi Elazar is modeh b'damim, because he sees value to a not full act of sprinkling of blood. Okay? By the way, if you say, what's the difference, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Eliezer? Okay, first of all, I'm just going to give, this is off the top of my head, I didn't see people wrote about this, but either Rabbi Elazar in this Mishnah, it's clear that it's Rabbi Elazar here, because also they're quoting that he says in Yoma, it's Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. This is why it really matters who it is, because we want to reconcile his Shita with somewhere else. You got to know who you're talking about. So it makes more sense to say this whole sugya was Rabbi Elazar, and that's why it's talking here about Rabbi Elazar. Alternatively, you could say that this Mishnah is talking about a different Rabbi Elazar entirely, and he's talking about the Rabbi Elazar in this Mishnah, and until now we've been talking about Rabbi Eliezer, which would be not as convincing, but that's what you'd have to say otherwise, because otherwise how can you reconcile it with some Shita and say he goes L'Shitato when L'Shitato is somebody else? But that's why it's obviously important to know who it is. Okay, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Afa Menasech Mechag Bechag Bachutz. Okay, right, you're also going to be Chayav. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Menachem Yotfa'a. Okay, he's going to say something in Rish Lakish, he's going to have a lot of problems with this. Rabbi Elazar, B'shitat Rabbi Akiva Rabo Amara. He said his statement in the name of Rabbi Akiva, his rabbi. De'amar, Nisuch Hamayim De'oraita. If Nisuch Hamayim's De'oraita, okay, there's a whole debate, is Nisuch, well, we'll see. It sounds like from here, right now, that there's a debate whether Nisuch Hamayim is De'oraita or De'rabanan. Okay? If you say it's mi De'oraita, where do you get it from? De'tanya Rabbi Akiva Omer, Unisacheha, Bishnei nisuchim akatu medaber. Echad nisuch hamayim ve'echad nisuch hayayim. Okay, in order to understand what he's talking about, you have to look at the psukim in Bamidbar Kaftet, where it's a list of all the korbanot that you bring on all the days of Sukkot. If you remember, on all the days of Sukkot, we bring different korbanot as opposed to, let's say, Pesach, where it's the same korban every day. So it says b'yom hasheni, okay, I specifically put in big all the words that we're going to notice. It says b'yom hasheni u'minchatam v'niskehem. Okay, and it says in the Yom HaShishi, U'minchatam v'niskehem, and it says in the Yom HaShvi'i, L'kvasim l'parim b'misparam kim mishpatam. Okay, now, if you look at all the other psukim, all the other places it says, I did the wrong one. Okay, I highlighted the wrong word here. Okay, it's the niskehem at the very end of pasuk, let's say yotet. Okay, look at the end. It's the other niskehem. It's not minchatav niskehem. It's at the very end. It says usirizim achad lachatad. In all the cases, you have to bring a seer every day. Remember, we learned about this. Milvad olata tamidu minchatav niskehem. Okay, niskehem. All the other days, other than the second day and the sixth day, it says viniska. Okay, in the second day, it says viniskehem, and in the sixth day, it says unisacheha. You see that? And then on the seventh day, it says kimishpatam instead of kamishpat. Okay, the second pasuk in each section says u'minchatam v'niskehem l'parim la'ilim v'lakfasim b'misparam kamishpat. So they darshin, okay, why does it say nisacheha all of a sudden on the sixth day? They say there must be more than one nisachim. Now, how do you know that it's not just more wine libations? And that's because there's a remez from the mem in niskehem of the Yom HaShini, the extra yud, instead of uniska, it says unisacheha, with a yud, and in the kimishpatam, it adds a mem. So they see a rem is there, mem, yud, mem, mayim. Okay? So that's what they're going to say here. So Rabbi Akiva, they don't say all the mem, yud, mem here, but that's really where it comes from. Tetanya Rabbi Akiva Omer Nisacheha B'shnei Nisuchim HaKatub Medaber. So there's Nisuch HaMayim and there's Nisuch HaYayin. That shows it's Halacha Midoraita. If it's Halacha Midoraita, then you're going to have an Isser of Halat Chutz. If it's Halacha Midorabanan, you can't get carried on a Doraita level for bringing something that's supposed to be offered inside, outside, but it's only supposed to be offered on a Dorabanan level. So he says it must be that Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Akiva is rabbi. Comes Rish Lakish and says, what are you talking about? I'm really Rish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. Number one, if you're going to say that we learn it all from the Nisachim of the Yain Nesach, then we should learn everything about it from the Nisachim, and we clearly don't. Im malahalan shloshet lugim, af kan shloshet lugim. Then the shear of how much mayim should be the same. Baha Rabbi Elazar, the second question is, mechag ka'amar. What does he say? Mechag bachag. Im malahalan b'shar yomot ha'shana, af kan b'shar yomot ha'shana. Rabbi Elazar said it's only on Chag that you're going to be chayav on halat chutz. And if we learn nisachim from nischei yayin, which can be offered every day, then someone who brings a water libation any day of the year should be chayav. Now, that seems like a crazy thing, and some people say this can't possibly be the question, because what would be the relevance of a wine libation any other day of the year? You only bring wine libations on Pesach. So if you pour some wine as a if you pour some water as a libation on a regular day of the year, you're going to be chayav halat chutz. So the pshat seems to indicate you would be, because since on Sukkot it would be, you know, then you would be there. And he's basically saying, if we're going to learn it out from the wine libations, then we should learn it out that it's a problem every day of the year. Some people say, no. If you remember, we learned from the wine libations that when you bring a korban, you're supposed to bring wine libations, but you have about 10-day range, or I think it was 10 days, that you could still bring the wine libations, even after. So in theory, what they're saying is maybe they're talking about the days coming right after Chag Sukkot. In theory, if you offered a wine libation outside, since the time frame should be the same as it is for the wine, if we're going to learn it from the wine psukim, the nisachim, that it includes wine and water, then we should say that it would be not a problem only on Chag, but even the few days coming after the Chag. That sounds like a more realistic one, although, of course, it doesn't seem to say that in the text here. It does say, b'shar yamot hashana, which sounds like all year long. Ve, Rabbi Elazar b'chag kamar, and he said only Chag and not shar yamot hashana. And thirdly, Ishtemite hada amar Rabbi Asi. You must have forgotten what Rabbi Asi said. Da amar Rabbi Asi, amar Rabbi Yochanan, mishum Rabbi Nechunya ishbakat beit chortan. Okay, it was all said in the name of all these people, which is a bit of a problem. If Rabbi Yochanan himself said it, this is a statement he's questioning Rabbi Yochanan based on a statement that Rabbi Yochanan himself said in the name of somebody. Eser nitiot arava v'nisuch hamayim halacha l'Moshe miSinai. The following three things are halacha l'Moshe miSinai. Okay, one is 10 nitiot. If you have 10 nitiot in a field that's the size of a beit se'ah, that's the certain, right, but the percentage, the proportion of 10 to a beit se'ah, you're allowed, there's what's called tosefet shvi'it, the month before Shemitah, you're not allowed to work the land, but in this case, it's to upkeep the trees, since they're kind of crowded in this area, it's clearly you're doing stuff for the trees, and therefore you're allowed to, I think it's just water it or something, I think that's what it is. Okay, that's halacha l'Moshe miSinai. The mitzvah of arava, which is a bit of a debate, what exactly was the mitzvah, but either they would be makif the mizbeach with aravot every day of the chag, or there's some other interpretations. And the fact that you do nisuch hamayim on chag sukkot are all halacha l'Moshe miSinai, which means what? That when you said he must say in the name of Rabbi Akiva, because he's the only one who says it's d'oraita, so he says, no. It's either you learn it from the psukim, that's Rabbi Akiva, or you learn that it's halacha l'Moshe miSinai. And if it's halacha l'Moshe miSinai, then it has a status of d'oraita, and then you'd be chayav halat chutz, and therefore you don't have to say that Rabbi Elazar said in the name of Rabbi Akiva.